say, oh, I can definitively say this is good and this is only okay.
But still good.
But still good. No, I mean the tracks, because one was like 320 kilobyte per second and one was FLAC. Which again, as we've discussed, not vastly different. Lift up Halo 5.
It's light.
Yeah, look what's underneath it.
Fallout 4.
What system is it on?
Yeah, it's on your X-Bone.
No.
Oh, this is... Game. Oh, the Fallout 4 is PC.
You fool!
Well, okay, Halo 5 was on X-Bone.
I did that on purpose.
I don't know why you... Why did you do this?
Because this
why
is did never... You
do this?
Oh, because I was weak. Because Halo's never... Halo 4 never came out on PC. Microsoft won't do it anymore after Halo 3.
Any reason?
Yeah, money. That you because have to buy an Xbox to be able to play Halo. I love Halo.
More people on... I've never played a Halo game.
Well, you would suck at it, because you can only play it really in first and controller.
Yeah. I have played Unreal games, which seem incredibly similar from the footage I've seen.
Nuh-uh. They don't have the moving orchestral score.
Okay.
Ah, you can't argue with that, no. College boy.
When you've got tons of vehicles and lots of user-created customizations...
I don't think there's a lot of user-created stuff in Halo.
Yeah, not for an Xbox. Doesn't really work that way.
So really you're describing Battlefield.
Yeah, well, the Unreal... Unreal is, like, they make the engine. They make the game, basically. Yeah. It's like, here's our game engine. This is kind of what we do with it, so buy it from us.
Yeah, that is...
The engine, not the game.
Not the game. We don't give a shit about the game. We literally slapped together the weirdest sci-fi thing we could think of just to sell the game engine. Hi, we are Buddies in Space. We both took a little sip there. You are.
That's Michael Smith. And you are.
I am M. Michael Carossi.
Yes, and we're talking about your recent Xbox purchase.
Yep, I didn't get the Dell deal. The
X-Bone.
The X-Bone. I did not get the Dell deal.
I didn't pay any attention to this stuff, honestly. I mean, I know the Xbox One is out there. There are games for it, I assume. Is Halo the only thing that you cared about to get that?
Well, I got the Rise of the Tomb Raider set. So uh-huh. It came with a free $50 controller. And then it came with Rise of the Tomb Raider. And it came with the 1 terabyte version of the system, which I didn't care about. I'm like, I'll take the fucking 500 gigabyte, people. I'm never going to fill this thing up because I'm never going to use it. It's going to be like my PS4 and just sit there after Christmas.
So is that just like a regular hard drive in there?
Yeah.
Or is it like a solid state drive?
I doubt it's SSD. Because the PS4 hard drive periodically stops reading, and then it must be partially disconnected. I just haven't bothered to open it up and slap it, which I assume is what I would do, right? I mean, that's what you do with an expensive computer device.
Come on, SSDs are so cheap now. You think they'd be able to just throw that in, though?
But the console is a non-profitable, silly dinosaur from a previous long-gone era, and they need to just let them go, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then I can stop spending money on stupid exclusives and having to get a console to play them. But, yeah, you're right. I looked into it. I thought, well, I really would like to play Halo 5, and I really like to play Tomb Raider. I know Tomb Raider's exclusivity is limited, so if I can wait that out.
Yeah.
But Halo 5 is literally never going to be anywhere else.
So. Yeah, I guess.
And then there'll be a Halo 6, so I was like, well, that's two exclusives.
But, yeah, I never played any of the Halo games. I did sort of get in... on one of the Halo, oh my gosh, what are they called? The real life things, the promotional things that they do.
The movie? The Fall of Reach?
Was it The Fall of Reach?
Was it that, like, it was like a 6-part thing you could watch on YouTube?
No, no, no. This was like a real life thing. Mm.
The bees. I heard bees. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard bees.
Yeah.
Which was really, it was cool at the time. And it was cool enough to draw me in, not having any exposure at all otherwise to the Halo franchise. What do they call these again? There's
viral
a term for
ad
it.
Marketing, biomarketing.
Yeah, there's some other word term for it.
Word, I don't know what this word term is.
Yeah, of. I don't know. There's some other word for it, but it was like a real, you want to say real life, I do, but it wasn't obviously not real, real life. There's not, you know, Master Chief coming to your door and saying, hey, come shoot things with me.
He comes to my door. In my dreams.
But it was a campaign that started with... There was not an obvious tie-in to the game initially.
It was viral.
It was like this viral thing. It was like there was a website, an iHeartBees website. And the website was having problems, and the person who owned it was not good with, you know, it was like a hobby site that they threw together, and they are asking people, the community, for help with it. Like, hey, my files are corrupted. I don't know what's going on with my server. Can somebody take a look at it? And I'm going to go on vacation. So people started picking at it and looking at the files, and the corrupted files are like corrupted images. And if you looked inside the code, there were like messages hidden in probably at like the hex level. No.
Oh, like, wow. Okay. Yeah.
And it was really cool because people were working together, you know, trying to dig through it and find all of these hidden clues and try to piece together what was going on. At some point, I think pretty early, it was like, this is a Halo thing.
Right.
But they were like, there are messages coming from the future. And it was really cool. And one of the things that happened is that somebody figured out a set of latitude and longitude coordinates. And there are a lot of them. There are like over 100 of them.
Jesus.
And people were like finding out, okay, this is where this one is. And once we got that sorted out, there was a date and a time established in connection with those.
Mm-hmm.
So then we eventually figured out that each one of those was a payphone location. So at the specific time or thereabouts, if you were at one of those payphones, it would ring and then the message would play for you.
Okay. Now you say we, so you were actively.
I was in the community. I don't think I was figuring anything out, but I was like following along. And one of the locations was a place like, it was like in Clifton Springs or something. It was close enough for you to like take half a day off from work and go out and see what was going on. And there were a couple of other nerdy guys who showed up, but there was no payphone near us. So that was like, they screwed that one up. So we were kind of upset. We were like looking around, could it be that gas station like way over there? It wasn't. It was nothing happened. Yeah. I know. I missed my big chance to hear a recorded phone message. Yeah,
what was the message? They must have posted it.
I don't even remember. I think they were like these kind of really weird cryptic parts of a story.
Okay.
And once everybody had got them,
then you'd assemble the story.
Yeah, you had to put them all together and figure out what the story was.
Wasn't the big reveal the release date of Halo 2? I think that's what it was leading up to.
It was like something like the bad things were in the Halo had like corrupted
the Covenant,
a ship's AI, mm-hmm. and it somehow got it beamed back to our present time and got it stuck onto a server. And everybody was like trying to help put it back together because it was all messed up. The AI was all messed up. But once everybody finally did put it back together, it turned out to be infected by the bad things. And it sent out a message broadcasting Earth's location. So, yay, everybody helped to put the Earth in danger.
Oh, that's why they came to Earth in the second game.
Yes.
Ah, that makes a little sense. But I'm pretty sure the big payoff at the end was they said when Halo 2 was
coming. Probably. I lost interest. After the whole phone call thing, I guess I was bitter about it, you know.
I'm pretty sure it's called viral marketing.
Okay. I think there's another specific term for it, though.
You're a specific term for it. And that term is, this drink is delicious.
Yes. Yeah. Shall I tell them what we're drinking, or would you like
to? You shall.
First of all, we're drinking out of mugs this time. Let's clank the mugs. There we go.
Kind of a satisfying ceramic ringing sound.
These are a little bit warm.
Mine's rapidly cooling.
Yeah, mine is too, but it's okay for me. I can't really drink hot things.
You have cat tongue.
Yes, I have cat tongue.
It's a thing. Look it up.
It is. It's a Japanese term for people who can't drink hot drinks.
And you go...
Because I guess cats don't like hot things. I don't know.
And they lick really quickly.
Yeah. But no, I will literally burn my tongue if I try to drink something that another person would say, this is a pleasantly hot cup of tea.
Who are you hanging out with where they actually would say the phrase, this is a pleasantly hot cup of tea? Excuse me, I'd like to order a pleasantly hot cup of Earl Grey, please.
Honestly, I can totally see you saying that.
Really? I'm douchey, but I'm not that douchey.
You would say it ironically, though.
Oh, okay. Excuse me, I'd like a pleasantly hot cup of tea. Thanks.
So this is a lukewarm at this point. maybe a little bit warmer, but not much cup of hot cider.
I just spilled some on myself.
Yeah, you've soiled yourself with a beverage.
Mm-hmm.
And into this heated, warmed, tepid cider, we have added some honey bourbon.
Honey bourbon! A bottle that has a beehive as a top.
Yeah, what's the name of it? Jaeger something?
Jaegermeister.
Jaegermeister?
No.
No?
Aaron Jaeger.
It's something.
It's an Attack on Titan co-branded honey bourbon.
Yeah, it's a Jaeger something.
Maybe it's just Jaeger.
I don't know.
What does Jaeger mean?
Hunter, I think.
Ah.
Yeah.
Bee hunter.
So it's Jaeger something honey bourbon, and we've had the honey liqueur as well, which is also a tasty thing. But if you put the honey liqueur in this, it would be way too sweet.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Excuse me.
Bourbon's a little sweet to begin with, and honey is sweet to begin with, but honey bourbon does not overwhelm this. If you did this with like Sweet Tango or Honeycrisp cider, it would be too sweet.
Mm.
You need the traditional cider.
This is organic Wegmans cider.
Oh, that's why it tasted so lovely, because it was organic. Can I please have a pleasantly hot organic cup of cider?
Thanks. There you go.
Thanks.
With no irony whatsoever.
You know what? Let's ensure that it's grass-fed bees in the honey, if you don't mind. Thank you.
I don't think bees eat grass, but we'll see what we can do.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Locally sourced clover, perhaps.
I would like free-range bees. Is that too much to ask for, that I love the environment? I love when people get on high horses. It's so entertaining.
Did you ever, as a server, did you ever get that, like, the person coming in asking, is this beef organic or free range? Or
of course. And you say no. it's not. Because we would fucking put that on the menu as such and charge you twice the price for it. Welcome to the real world. No, my favorite was the, we'll call it the, well, I won't say the name, but I would name it after a former acquaintance of ours, and that they would say, oh, you don't have blank? Or, oh, you've never heard of blank? And you're like, no, I haven't. Did I mention this is the number blank restaurant in the city? And I haven't heard of that because I don't give a flying fuck. And you're being a douchebag by asking. But I've told you, the worst person to wait on in the world is a doctor. There's no doubt about that.
A doctor?
Doctors are the single worst type of person to wait on. You know, in fine dining, right? Because they're going to be eating in a fine dining restaurant.
Of course.
Because doctors are an overeducated, very myopically intelligent type of person.
Myopically intelligent.
Yes. I would not have a doctor work on my car. Right?
No, I agree.
I mean, it's the same. It's the tech industry engineering issue. It's like specialization, right? So it's like, all right, I know a lot about this one thing.
Yes.
And for better or worse in this country, we give all doctors a godlike status.
Yes.
I would say for worse.
You're really describing the popularity of Ben Carson right now, I think.
Yes. He was a
whether you're intentionally doing that or not. That's
doesn't make me sound more intelligent?
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
Insightful political commentary.
But, so you have someone who has, I think inherently most doctors have something of a guy complex because they're treated as such. They know a lot about a life-saving occupation, and therefore they are prone to forget that they don't fucking know everything about everything. Because saying I'm a doctor automatically gives you like sort of a status where people just believe whatever you say. And it's very apparent when you're talking about wine with a doctor. Because doctors have money when they're in their 60s after they've paid off their medical bills.
Right.
When they're young, not so much. But older doctors. Older doctors are the worst people in the world to wait tables. They don't know what they think they know. Very rarely have I met someone who actually knows as much about wine as they think. Usually, the more money you have, the more you think you know. And doctors will just insist on the most inane, incorrect things.
Yes.
And wine, for whatever reason, is like a special touch of pride. Because I've seen it so many times, especially in New York. But even in Rochester. Because we have an unusually high number of hospitals and money in the area.
And wineries.
And wineries. Yeah, any doctor touting Finger Lakes wine, I just want to slap. We're okay with like Rieslings and Gewurztraminers and Cab Francs, but no, don't start telling me about your Pinot Blend because you're a schmuck.
I don't know what that meant, but I love it.
Because I said it with derision. But yeah, so I have distinct memories of waiting on doctors with large groups of people and just kind of smiling out the side of my mouth because they're just clearly saying, stating something that is just a fallacy in front of like eight friends.
And all of their friends are like nodding happily along.
Oh, yeah. No, this Bordeaux is a wonderful single Pinot grape and not a blend, as all Bordeaux's are. You're absolutely right, schmuck. So, but yeah, they're also just assholes in general when you wait on them. I don't know, maybe it's like when you, maybe like a surgeon's used to bossing everyone around during a surgery, which I get.
I think there has to be some level of like absurd confidence that you need to have to be able to just take a knife and start digging into a person and saying, oh, I'm going to fix this.
I got this, guys. Scalpel, you know what? You hand me the sharp thing. I'll do the cutting. Yeah, no, you're right. Well, it's the inherent domestic abuse rates of the police force issue.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Just bear with me a second.
All
right. I am not saying that all police officers have domestic abuse issues in their lives. But what I am saying is, when you look at the statistics, they tend to have a lot higher of a rate of domestic abuse. And I think it ties into that. Well, your job is to protect and serve. You are given a tremendous amount of responsibility and power.
Yes.
And that tends to kind of warp your relationships. I think it just has to. I'm not saying everyone's Judge Dredd, but. And I think doctors are the same way, you're right, because it's an A type of personality for the most part, and you are literally saving lives and making like life and death decisions somewhat regularly. Unless you're boring. You're like a boring doctor. Then I don't know why
you're asshole. you are doing that. You're
anytime
you're picking up a scalpel and you're gonna dig into somebody and you might kill them. It's entirely within the realm of possibility that this person will end up dead by whatever you're doing.
And almost anyone else in that situation would kill them. Pretty much. Well, definitely. Yeah. I would kill the person because I am an untrained person digging into the flesh of a unconscious, but right. Hopefully, person with a really sharp scalpel.
And you've probably played that surgeon simulator game, right?
Oh, Operation? Oh, yeah. Guys, I can't tell if I'm messing up because it's not buzzing. Am I hitting arteries? What's this arterial spray?
No, have you ever played? There's like a surgery simulator.
Well, there's Phoenix Wright was the lawyer simulator, and then there was a doctor one. It was a game. It was on the Game Boy.
I don't know. I'm talking about the more recent one.
Oh, okay. I'm a little out of touch with the latest surgery simulation video games.
And I think it might be a PC game.
Oh,
it's probably an Android too. It's like ridiculously realistic.
Oh God!
And that there's not like a button to do something. It's like you just have all of these implements, and you have to use a mouse or your finger or something to grab it and then move it into the right position.
What the hell?
And there's like no way it can go right. It's entirely designed to let you just kill somebody in as horrible a way as possible.
I'm sorry, you sliced 3 pixels to the left. They're dead.
Yeah. I think maybe I've just seen videos of it. I don't think I've actually played
like
it.
Like Let's Play videos?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you go to YouTube and there's videos of it. And one of them is like doing something in zero gravity. So like all the implements are floating around. And
why?
Yeah, I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's along the same lines of Goat Simulator. You've ever played... You've probably at least seen Goat Simulator.
Well, I've heard the gist of it, which is that the bugs are the best part of the game.
Yeah.
I think you told me about
it. I've got it on Android. You're driving a goat around, basically. You know, got the behind the goat view. And
that old chestnut.
Yeah. And the goat, the only really action you can do is use your tongue, which sticks to things. So you can like... shoot your tongue out. I don't know. I mean, it's not a terribly realistic game. I don't think goats can do this in real life.
I have not interacted with many goats.
But
so...
the tongue shoots out.
Okay. Like a frog?
Yes.
Okay.
Like a frog or a chameleon, whatever. All right. And it attaches to anything. It could be a person, a tin can, a speeding train.
Oh.
And then you and that thing are connected until you disengage tongue.
So if you snagged a train with your tongue, is it just going to pull you along?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
You're not going to derail the train?
I don't think so.
But the game is super buggy.
There's probably, yeah, and you can get different, you can unlock different mods and things. So there might be a mod that gives you like metal body power or something, so you actually could derail a train. I don't know. When you run into things, they tend to explode or fly around. And It's a very chaotic game, and it's meant to be so.
Right.
Much like the surgery simulator I'm referring to.
A different kind of chaos, though, I feel.
They're both very destructive. Very, very destructive.
Very destructive. I've been playing the latest last StarCraft II expansion. Kind of stresses me out, man.
What? The pressure of playing Star...
Just the campaign. I'm only playing on normal. It's just that I forgot, like, I think the last one was a little bit easier or something. The Heart of the Swarm, the second expansion. The Legacy of the Void, you're just like, I'm doing a lot of shit. And I was like, I don't use the keyboard shortcuts very much.
Are there levels? Can you, like, select easy or medium or hard?
Oh, my God. I can't
imagine.
Are you
on medium now?
I'm on normal.
You're on normal, okay.
I'm on normal. And I will never play this game online. Because I will get destroyed by the first person who even looks at me.
They're like... Yeah, that's one of those games where I'd probably be interested. I might play a campaign, but not online. Because, this is one of the most ridiculously competitive
esports
games out there.
Did I tell you about this? I read an article about the Chinese esports teams who play StarCraft.
The Chinese? Because it's also popular in Korea, right?
Yeah, this article is following a Chinese team.
Okay.
There's teams all over the world. There's American teams. But this Chinese team, they lived in a dormitory. Like, they were funded and everything. And it was like 12 guys. And they got to the point where they could do, I think the goal, like to really be a functioning member of the team, you had to be able to do between 50 and 55 actions per minute. So you got to be able to command or build 55 different things in a minute. That means that almost
every second,
you are putting in a series of commands and placing them in a location that's not going to block something else. And there's like shit going on, man. And then you're getting attacked. And it's like, what the fuck? I don't want to get that good. I'm not enjoying the game at that point.
No.
It's like, God dang.
Yeah, that sounds like it's too much stress.
That's what I'm saying. The campaign's just a little
while
taste
you're
of that.
Sitting. If it's a sport or something, you know, at least you got the body moving around.
It's healthy.
Yeah.
Sports are healthy stress. This is my issue with these sports.
Having stress but not moving.
Well, so we know sitting is really bad for you, right?
Yes.
So you're sitting. You're in the worst position your body could be in. And then your heart's pounding. You're probably drinking energy drinks and eating sugar, right? So pretty much it's a recipe to die.
Yeah, no. I'll pass on that.
Yeah. So the campaign's like, all right. I'm already almost halfway through it. I'm like, I have an X-Bone coming. I need to get to Fallout 4 at some point.
Man. Do you haven't even cracked open the Halo or the Fallout?
I don't have the X-Bone yet. That comes this week, I think. So I kind of paced it on purpose. So I'd have time with StarCraft. A little alone time with my
Protoss. So Witcher's all done?
For now. I beat it.
You paused it? Okay.
No, I beat it. I chose the chick I was going to go with. I made my choices.
Was it Yennefer?
No, I did not go with Yennefer. I went with Triss. I went against canon for this one. And then the replay, I'm going to go with Yennefer, and my choices with Ciri are going to be more in line with probably what would have happened. It'll be more in canon. But also, there's one expansion out that I haven't played, and then there's another expansion coming. So I'm trying to wait until those are out so that I can roll those into the playthrough. Because it's weird to like beat a game and then go and back and play an expansion that has nothing to do with anything, because that's what they are.
I see.
That's strange.
My recent gaming is not quite on the level of what you're doing.
Mine, I have to schedule it, and I have to make romantic decisions, and it's very involving, Mike. It's exhausting. By the way, for anyone listening who hasn't seen this yet, you probably are aware of Conan's, what the fuck is it called?
Clueless?
Clueless Gamer, something like that. He's got really funny video game reviews as a Clueless Gamer, but his Witcher 3 one is like my favorite one ever.
And it's not just because you're a huge Witcher 3 fan.
No, it is, but it's still really funny. You saw it.
I saw it. I thought it was pretty funny. And yeah. I know
nothing.
Very little other than what you've ranted to me about here.
Right. Oh, that's new.
Okay.
I bought a compendium for the game.
A compendium? A book reference? A physical book?
Well, the game is referencing a bunch of novels. I haven't read them all. So sometimes I get like, I don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
So that's a hardback collection of novels?
No, it's a hardback collection of all the things they're kind of referring to in the game.
Oh, okay.
Because I'm slowly reading through the books, but I have to wait for them to be translated from Polish. So they take years. Not all of them are translated. So I'm like, I don't understand who this character is. Because you'll be, literally I was walking around one day and I ran into some elves. And this one elf's like, you, thank you so much. And I'm like, who the fuck are you?
And that was really, that must be awkward.
It is awkward.
So you don't know what to say to that person.
Okay, so here's the thing. All elves look the same to me.
It's
doubly awkward because I know I'm not being good about it. Because of the pointy ears. It just throws me off.
Well, I just tonight finished a game.
Was it PAD?
It was not PAD.
Because you'll never finish that game.
I was playing the game. It was an Android game. You can play it on a... No. I'm going to talk about this. I'm allowed. You've talked about all of your games now.
Yeah, big AAA games that people care about.
I even talked about one of your games that I've never played, which is, I guess, Halo 2.
You know what, Mike? You're right. I'm sorry. Go on. Tell us about your mobile app.
Anybody can go get this game. It's an inexpensive... I think it was like a dollar, maybe. It's called Lifeline. And I'm sitting here indignant with my arms crossed.
Your arms are crossed. Your legs are slightly... Oh, no, they're crossed. Yeah, even your legs are crossed.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I'm indignant now. I will not have my little mobile game app be mocked.
Okay, you're doing it yourself describing it that way. But go on.
I will have it be mocked, apparently. I don't know why else I would bring it up.
I was going to play with your smartwatch while you talk. Go ahead.
You like that? That's like a... Kind of a Pip-Boy sort of stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like Fallout.
Yeah.
I'm still going to touch it.
Stop it. Stop it.
Let me touch your watch.
It's called Lifeline, and it's a very simple game. It's much along the lines of like the choose-your-own-adventure stuff.
Ooh.
It's not an original gameplay concept.
But very few things.
The premise is that there's this young person who was, he's a student, and he was on a spaceship, and his spaceship has crashed. He finds himself the only survivor, and for some reason his comm system has put him randomly in touch with you, and you're the only one he has to talk to.
So you're playing you on planet Earth.
Yeah,
present day.
I think it's all set in the future.
Okay,
riding around in the spaceship is
well, it's not, oh my routine. God, it's not Galaxy Quest, oh my God, it's really a spaceship and all that. It's, oh, okay, yeah, you need help.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So he'll come into the situations and he'll say, hey, what do you think I should do here?
And you're like, why are you asking me? I don't fucking know.
But yeah, you make your best choices and you try to have him die. Yeah, there was at least one point where he like, is this thing going to kill me? Could you look it up and let me know?
At least they're acknowledging the internet.
Yeah, and then you go and you actually look it up and you give him the correct advice. Or you give him the wrong advice and I guess he'll die. I was nice. I have trouble like screwing over characters.
Why would you? Yeah, but that's the game is keeping him
well.
Alive.
I know, but some people like to.
I know. Those like people are douchebags.
Yeah,
they're also the ones who teabag you when you die in a game. Okay. In a game, hopefully only.
What's kind of novel about this game is that things are happening in real time. In your yawning. Okay, that's not even nice.
I wasn't doing it intentionally. I'm sorry. It was a big night last night. You were there.
I was there. It wasn't that late. Anyway, things happen in real time. Don't touch my watch again for the character.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, I'm going to go walk over and see if I can get to this thing. I'll let you know when I get there. And then like an hour or so will pass before you get the next message from him.
Oh, that's annoying as shit.
I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, but does he need an answer right away? Because he'll like die.
No, he's like, you say, I'm going to go.
No, but he says, okay, I'm there. I need your help now. Is it like a gacha or a Pokemon or a Tamagotchi?
No. Well, I kind of. He says, I need, should I go over here or should I go over there? And you're like, yeah, go over there. He's like, okay, I'm going to go over there.
Right.
I'll tell you when I get there.
What if you don't tell him what to do?
It just waits. It just waits for you.
So if a month went by, he's
okay.
Not...
In that sense, yes. If you wait a month, he's still going to be waiting for you, and then it's nothing bad is going to come.
Okay,
of
no,
that's
that. Good. That's good because I don't want that stress of being like, because I've seen Erica freak out because she forgot to get her fucking.
No. It's not like it's the opposite of that.
Mifflet nonsense.
It's the opposite of that.
Okay.
So it's like it basically self limits how much you can, how frequently you can play.
Okay. So if I were a marathon gamer, I would be annoyed by that.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to feel stressed out because I'm letting him wait 10 hours because I have a job.
No, not at all. Not at all.
And then I want to have sex after the job.
Yes.
And I'm not playing the video game because I'm having sex.
Right. He'll be there waiting for your advice whenever you're ready.
Post-coitus.
Yes.
It's the best time to get advice from someone.
Yeah, sure. You're relaxed.
Yeah, your mind is clear.
Yeah.
Come on, guys. We're at our best right after we've had sex. I'm speaking for all men here.
Anyway, I only got him killed once, which I thought was... Or did it, maybe it was twice. No, I did get him killed. I got him killed twice.
Oh my God, I take that applause back. Yeah.
I got him killed twice, but I did one more playthrough, and I got him all the way through. And I think I got to the best ending, because he was alive and well and safe. And
so. Did he get rescued?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I feel like that's probably the best ending you're going to hope for.
Yeah, I'm not sure what would be better.
Getting raped by a bear.
Probably not for most people.
It worked for Leo.
All right.
Well, you heard about that, right?
What?
Oh, you haven't heard about this?
I don't know what you're referencing.
Oh, here. It's very topical. I'm very proud of myself. It's it was in the news yesterday.
What? I'm so afraid now.
I'm sorry. Finish your story, Smike.
No, that was it.
Okay.
It's a fun game. I recommend it. You can play it on the phone. And
what's it called?
Lifeline.
When you're plugging something, you have to say the name again. Hmm? Yeah, so have you heard about this movie, The Revenant, with Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yes.
Do you know the story behind it?
Some guy gets left for dead somewhere and comes back to take revenge on people.
I don't know about the revenge part, but I read the...
Isn't that what Revenant sort of implies?
I don't know.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Maybe? Probably. I mean, I assume that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But the apparently the true story, which I'm not sure how they could have corroborated it, but is batshit insane. Like, this guy is Bear Grylls meets fucking the Terminator. But, so in the movie, the whole point is that he gets mauled by a bear. I mean, in real life, he got mauled by a bear while on expedition in, like, the frontier.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were like, he's gonna die, let's just leave him. And so he doesn't die. I guess he gets revenge. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I'm assuming there's some revenging. some revenant attending. But the point is that apparently some people who saw it, probably idiots, during the bear mauling scene, multiple people thought that it looked like the bear raped him. And so all the news outlets were having to report that people thought that in the movie Leonardo DiCaprio's character gets raped by a bear.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying to Erica today, I'm like, thank God we don't have many legitimate newscasters anymore. Because just the look on these people's faces, they had to say that, you could see it. It just felt dirty in their mouths to say something as ridiculous as that. And then there had to be, of course, the one newscaster is we did research this and there is absolutely no historical evidence that a bear has ever raped a human being. It's like, dude, you
have
just,
to tell people that.
You just
so they won't be afraid.
That. You can't unsay that. You have on the air said that.
I have heard a little bit about this. What I have about the movie and the production, and from what I understand, it was one of those over the top, gruelingly, physically exhausting, difficult people getting sick and having the worst time while making this film.
So it's the next Apocalypse Now.
Yeah, exactly.
So the movie's gonna be amazing.
Yeah, it could be.
I mean, I just want bear rape, but I'll settle for really impressive, believable death. Apparently it's gory. They were like, how can we differentiate our frontier movie from others in the past? Oh, we'll make it insanely, brutally gory.
Nice.
Could be worth a checkout. Not like Batman versus Superman, which apparently you can just watch the new trailer.
Did you see the trailer? No. Okay. Well,
I despise trailers that give the plot away. I despise that. I would rather a teaser trailer. Walking Dead did a great job. I mentioned this last night at the birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Walking Dead did a fuck with you trailer for the latest season where they made it look like one thing was happening that was really bad.
Yeah.
And then, you kind of, if you knew the show, you're like, I think I know what's going on. This doesn't really sound like it's happening. But to the uninitiated, it straight up looked like, oh, they just gave away the whole season and this is going to be nuts. And then it's not in any way what is happening. And I like that. I'd rather be sold on something interesting that isn't true than to be handed the plot on a silver platter and be like, don't think, here, just consume.
So there was a teaser trailer that came out a little while ago.
And then the Shia LaBeouf version, which is better.
I haven't seen that, but
I'm sure
it can't be worse. And the teaser trailer itself it put a lot of people off.
The original one.
The recent one, the one is like a couple, yeah, with the hood. It's Batman is chained with his arms up, I guess, and he's wearing a duster over
his. He's in a duster, and there's two other army guys with him.
Yeah,
and so he looks like he's part of a commando squad.
But he's being held. He's being held prisoner.
Yep, in a duster and
in a duster with his Batman costume sticking out from.
Makes no sense.
Makes no sense. And a very angry, pissed off, really pissed off Superman lands. The guards bow before him.
Well, there's two lines of sort of fascist looking guards, and then they all kneel before him as he arrives. Yeah, it's
and he's scowling.
Yeah, he looks very angry.
Yeah, and he walks over and he rips the cowl off of Batman.
So there are a lot of things to pick apart about that.
Yeah,
but you went about it the geekiest way possible, which I loved. Tell me what
which is because Superman has X-ray vision and therefore would not need to take a cowl off of anyone. Which was that was the first thing that clued me in that this is not real.
This is a dream sequence and
it's,
or a nightmare.
It's even been confirmed now that it's a dream sequence.
Who the fuck didn't think that it was a dream sequence?
A lot of people don't understand
movies or Superman or Batman.
Yeah. Superman wouldn't, first of all, never be scowling like that. That's not...
Batman would never wear a duster, Mike.
Yeah.
That was the giveaway from me.
That was one of the other points I read is, how would he get his duster over the glove suit
He went thing? To, was it European Mail? What's the name of that supersized mail store? What is the name of that?
Oh, DXL my God. Or something? I don't know.
Man, we used to make fun of it in grade school.
Yeah.
It's like European Mail or something. It's like the massive guy catalog for wrestlers.
Yeah. So that came out.
Right. And that's the last thing I saw.
More recently, within I think the past week or so,
they went into Damage Control after that.
Well, they released the full air quote trailer for the movie, which shows every significant plot point of the film. It shows that references that, which is a dream sequence, you know. It shows Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne meeting at Lex Luthor's party where they shake hands and kind of exchange some angry words with each other. Lex says, hey, this guy has a really strong grip. Better not get into a fight with him. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Arm nudge, elbow. Yeah.
Did he look at the audience and go?
Yeah, and I think he did.
Sound as he winks.
And it shows Superman and Batman fighting for a little while, and then it shows Lex Luthor creating Doomsday out of General Zod.
That I have so many problems with.
And then you see this like a horrible CGI Doomsday thing going on a rampage, and then you see Superman and Batman trying to fight it. You see Doomsday about to kill Batman, and then Wonder Woman lands and blocks his shot, and then the three of them are like standing there, and Superman says, is she with you? And Batman says, no, I thought she was with you.
Oh, because a woman can't be by herself.
Yes. I think that, yeah, that's a legitimate criticism of that scene. Of course. Now we pretty much know. Except, I think the only question is, when does Aquaman show up?
Nobody cares.
Okay.
Again, anyone who's seen Entourage knows not to care.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to begin with that. I will say
I think it's begun and ended.
If you haven't, so another thing for the audience, if you haven't seen it yet, and you know what, I'll probably post it under the Buddies in Space Facebook page, because I do that on occasion when I'm feeling energized. I'll put Max Landis's Death and Return to Superman. Have I shown you that?
I don't remember. But talk about it anyway.
It's a short film. So Max Landis is John Landis' son. Very interesting guy. He did Chronicle. He wrote Chronicle.
He wrote it or directed it?
Yeah, both.
Oh, all
right. He's actually more of a writer than a director. Super brilliant guy. Has a lot of personality defects that he talked about on The Nerdist because they hated him. And they told him, like, just so you know, we hate you. And it was one of the most interesting because they grew to like him over the course of the hour, the podcast. Fascinating guy. Some legitimate social issues. John Landis and his family kept him locked up in the house. They wouldn't let him out at parties and stuff. Like, he was that much of an issue with people.
Well, at least I guess he hasn't killed anyone, right?
Well, yeah.
So he's got that going
for
him.
So he's got a leg up there. And his career's on the rise. John Landis, not so much. Anyway. But he directs occasional short films. And he knows everyone in Hollywood. So he did this really intelligent sort of treatise short film comedy thing about the death and return of Superman and how the fact that DC killed and then resurrected like their tentpole character broke the concept of death in all comic books. And it makes a really strong case. But what he does is he gets a ton of like Hollywood A and B listers to do these really funny cameos. And he tells the story of Superman and Doomsday and how Superman dies. And then like everything. Yeah. So he tells the whole story. but like Elijah Wood's in it, and Mandy Moore's randomly in it, and about 50 million other people. You're like, how did he get him to do this? And they all are super goofball like characters and stuff. But the way he explains Doomsday is hilarious.
The thing is, and I'm gonna get really nerdy here for a second. Superman has died before. That wasn't the first time they've done that.
But
they just really played it up.
Well, that's the thing is when
it's happened before and it's never been a big deal.
But they've never been like, he's straight up dead. He's not in the comic anymore. He was out of the comic for a while.
Okay.
That's never been done before.
Fair point.
That's saying he's dead. Saying he's not dead.
But my point still, they've killed, air quote, him before, and it never sticks. And there was no reason to expect that was going to be the same here.
Because they said they were going to do it. That's why it was going to stick.
But again, they've killed him before.
But they've never taken him out of the comic. You're missing the point. They did a black cover with a torn blood. I think I have it right there in that box.
Yeah, okay.
They said, we've killed. It was in all the. He even talked about it. All the newspaper outlets, all the news outlets ran with it. It's like, oh, Superman's dead.
Yes, this time when they killed him, they put a lot more marketing behind it.
Right.
There you go.
And then they took him out of his own comic book. You're totally downplaying the enormity of that.
I guess I just was never impressed, and I never thought it was really going to. He was really going to be dead because I've read the things where he's died. Well, I've read them.
Okay, we've established
I've read them where a space cowboy killed him.
His foes have gotten more easy to take seriously over time, okay? Look, clearly you are way more of a I'm not even going to use the N-word because I don't like using that, but you are way more of a Superman nerd than I am. So
I had like a handful of his comics that I picked that up at garage sales when I was a child.
It was the one he died in. But anyway, my point is, so
yes. I even had one of the ones where it's like, it's Batman and Superman Jr. There was like a few of those, like World's Greatest Heroes or something. It was Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne Jr. And they were out having adventures together.
Was it supposed to be Batman's kid or was it?
No, it was their children. Each of their sons. And they were like, this was like in the 70s when they came out.
Okay.
And they tried to make them into these like hip 70s teenager characters.
So they're all long haired and
No, they had pretty much the same haircut, but they're like wearing like a jeans jacket or you know, the leather thing, the suede leather jacket with all the frills over it.
The tassels?
Yeah. The tassels. They're awful.
No one. Maybe the Warriors. Someone pulled that off in that.
But, yeah. Man. They and to go a step further into nerd category here, they later eventually retconned it so that all of those Superman, Batman Jr. things were Superman and or Batman looking at a virtual reality simulation of what would have happened if they had kids. Not making that up.
I hate retconning. Retconning is one of the worst things ever. Retroactive continuity is a crime against.
Although honestly, retconning that one-off little mini series thing, there are worse things that they could have retconned. Besides,
but there are many worse things that have been retconned. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah,
and I will say again. So anyway, The Death and Return of Superman, it's on YouTube. It's really funny. Max Landis gets more drunk as he goes, and his like just disgust with the whole proceedings is just fucking hilarious. So the minute I hear Doomsday, I instantly think of a little toy baby being thrown up against a rock over and over again by the guy from Prison Break and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, who plays one of the weird inbred brothers. Anyway, so you should see that. But I will give mad props to Marvel because they actually fucking kill people. Like, the death of Captain Marvel? That was a big deal. There was no fucking taking that back.
Nope.
They gave him the big C, and they were like, we're not, this is the big C.
Yeah.
Cancer's killing this motherfucker. And they had I remember the annual or the one shot or whatever. Every major, like, Beast was there and Doctor Strange, and they were all, like, standing around the space station. I think it was Rick Jones. He's like, why can't you guys just cure cancer? You can do everything else. And Dr. Strange was like, we can't cure cancer. I don't know. He didn't say that. It was a comic book, so I don't know.
Just get out the spectral scalpel of Osiris and go to town.
Just go over to...
You're a doctor, aren't you, for fuck's sake?
Where'd you get your medical degree? Hack University? Yeah, Rick Jones. But anyway.
Rick Jones. Speaking of... of 70s hipster teenage characters.
He was angsty.
Yeah. But he played the guitar, right?
I'm just feeling really acoustic tonight, guys. Let me know when you read that first Alias volume. I love that comic. But the whole thing with Rick Jones is really funny.
So, okay, Rick Jones is this character, a comic book character in the Marvel Universe. For those who don't know, he's in everything. He shows up everywhere.
He is the guy who broke into the nuclear testing facility that Bruce Banner ran to save and then in turn became the Hulk. So that's one.
Yes. He's also the guy who got stuck with, I don't even know how to explain this in like less than 10 minutes.
The armbands, right?
Yeah. So the character that we were just talking about, Captain Marvel, who was an alien from the Kree world.
Here's the twist. His name was Captain Marvel.
Yes, and his rank was captain on the spaceship. He wasn't the commander of it, I don't think. But anyway, he was supposed to be a spy looking at Earth civilization.
Looking at penises.
No, I don't know. I don't judge. If he was, I don't think they had
penises on the Kree homeworld.
No, I was gonna say, what's that? That
porn?
No,
the internet.
Oh my gosh, the roulette thing.
Tinder.
No, the camera roulette that was like everybody was showing penises on for a while.
The internet?
I'll remember what I'm talking about eventually.
You're just going to yell it out all of a sudden.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, Captain Marvel is on Earth and he's a Kree warrior and he's got some sort of special powers and you're yawning again. I don't know.
It's not you. I'm tired. Jesus Christ.
He's not the most exciting character, but I thought he was kind
of
cool.
No, he was like the Superman of the Marvel Universe.
I guess.
He was crazy powerful. The Kree had that powers.
Powerful. He wasn't that powerful.
He was pretty powerful.
He was
pretty powerful.
He was strong and he could fly.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like, he didn't have laser vision or anything like that. He wasn't that powerful.
All right, anyway. So
anyway, he was just a strong alien guy.
Rick Jones.
And somehow he and Rick Jones got these things called Nega Bands, which are like big bracelet things.
They're discount Mega Bands.
Yeah. And so he and Captain are both wearing them. I don't even know how this happened. We'll have to look that up later. But when they clank them together, they switch places.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, one of them is always in this place called the Nega Zone, which I guess is just boring. I don't know.
That's what Rick Jones said.
You just chill there the whole time.
Doop, 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 doop.
Waiting around.
Man, I hope Captain Marvel's saving the world because I ain't doing shit.
So I think Rick is the one who spends most of his time not there.
Right.
The captain's in there most of the time. So whenever something really bad happens, Rick clanks his wrist together, and now Cap has to go
tags
things
in.
Up.
He tags in.
Yeah. So yeah.
And then also, so that's two.
That's two.
And then apparently, and neither Smiger or I knew this till we were reading Alias, but apparently he also replaced Bucky Barnes as Captain America's sidekick at one point. Which makes zero sense because he's just a guitar-playing douchebag.
Yeah.
With a penchant for trouble.
But again, they created the Rick Jones character and kind of
shoehorned
him. Fleshed him out to be a hip, younger, you know, teenage character to appeal to that demographic. That,
right. Marvel's getting a little long in the tooth at that point. Now, did you ever hear of, this is one of the most incredible comic books I ever read. It was an Alan Moore comic. So you can kind of guess what its tone was.
Mm-hmm.
But did you ever hear of Miracle Man or Marvel Man? It had different names here in the U.S. and in England.
I don't think so.
So he was very much influenced by Captain Marvel.
Okay. I think it was what you said before. Captain Marvel is like, it's like an acid trip. Some of these, the Kree world, the alien weirdness is like, they must have been doing lots of drugs.
Well, I think you've they read, were. Yeah. No, I was reading the history of Marvel, and it just got to the drug stuff, and I was like, this is so boring. They're just on drugs all the time.
Yeah.
Like, they're climbing, they're like breaking and entering in buildings in New York City and just climbing on statues and incorporating that into their comics, and they were just tripping on acid all the time.
Yeah, and Captain Marvel stuff was like the epitome of
and
that.
And Adam Warlock, too, right? You said that shit was batshit insane, too. All melty-faced. Didn't he end up in a painting or something?
Oh, God, I don't know.
You were telling me this. Are you on drugs?
No. I never got... No. It's okay. We both read Infinity Gauntlet, and that's about the extent of Adam Warlock for me.
Okay, but you told me about this.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, you did.
No, right. That was Captain Marvel, where they went into one of the Soul Stones, and everything was Captain Marvel. Yeah, melty, trippy.
I'm getting him confused. Okay.
Yeah.
So Alan Moore did...
A giant stone head with robot arms with a smaller human head on top of it.
And you were convinced there was more to it, and there's nothing. No,
that was it.
It's just like, I'm on drugs, and this is what I came up with. Write it, and I'll draw it. But Alan Moore came up with this thing, Miracle Man, where it's very similar in concept to Marvel Man, where it's like, it's a dude who's like a journalist, and he had a similar setup, but it was an engineered thing, where like, someone cloned his body and made a superhero out of it, and he would swap out with them if he said the word Komota.
What?
Yeah, it's really, but it's intentionally a silly setup. And so he forgets, like, because of brainwashing, he forgets for 10 years that he has this other person that he
can. Yeah, that's not a word that's just going to come up in conversation, is it?
Right, well, that's the thing, is it's blathering blatherskites, which is the same concept from DuckTales. Yeah, it was always the thing where it's like, you get bonded with something, you say a word, and then they magically transform into it.
Right.
It's an old idea. But the thing is...
Ultraman, goes back to like the Ultraman. So you'd like watch the old Japanese TV show.
The guy with the weird helmet and the tights?
Yeah.
So anyway, so in Miracle Man, they started with that, and then they just kept going. So you know how, like, most comics will stop at a certain point, right? Like, okay, we have a superhero, let's just kind of keep things status quo so he has a villain of the week to fight, and let's not really change the world. So they just kept going with this, and it's like, oh, okay, well, we're just gonna stop all crime. And we're just going to stop all genocide. Okay, so now there's a couple of us now. Oh, we found a dude who can't burn. That's his power, but he's useful. He's going to stick around. Oh, I know. Let's just create a utopia on Earth and then give everyone psychological profiles. And if you pass, if we feel you are ready, we'll give you your own super body. And then they just keep going. And it basically ends with heaven. And it just goes all the way there. And if you know what? I've just given the whole fucking plot away. I mean, I've skipped a lot of interesting stuff in between. But the point is that where it gets to, it's like, this didn't stop. This kept going way past the point of being silly. And there is some fucked up shit because it's Alan Moore between the beginning and the end I'm not going to give away. But it was the first time I think I read a comic because it was in college. Someone like gave it to me like, hey, these are reprints. You should check these out. But I was like, oh. You don't have to stop at the point where you need a monthly comic book. You can go all out and just end it. You know what I mean? I just never seen that before. And it just blew my fucking mind. There's just nothing like it. But yeah, Miracle Man or Marvel Man, it's fucking amazing.
All right. I'll have to... do you have any of them?
No, it's really hard to find. All like right. Someone...
I'll dig around in Comixology, see if it's...
See if they...
around out there.
It would be really smart to do that because it was like a friend's brother had them reprinted from the UK. Like, you know... And the internet was around when I was in college, so it wasn't like it was crazy to find something on the internet, but that was hard to find. It's almost Christmas.
It is. We have a Christmas moose.
You do? It was all lit up last night.
It was all lit up. And it's bright when it's lit up.
It was drunk as shit. Oh, right. It was also lit up. Right.
Yes.
Shockingly bright.
Yes. We drove from here in the Rochester area to Fort Erie, which is just over the border. It's about an hour and a half drive.
Okay. That's moose worthy.
Mostly to go to a Canadian tire store. Not saying it's a store in Canada that sells tire. The name of the store is Canadian Tire, for those uninitiated. Yes, with Canadian Tire, they don't sell just tires.
Are they like Walmart?
Kind of. Are but they like not as big?
Classier. Are
they like it's like Target? A small Walmart.
Okay.
And I guess maybe if you go to a different location, that might be a bigger.
Just, a mega tire.
Yeah, but none of them are as big as like a super Walmart or whatever. And I don't think they sell groceries.
Ah, well, that's a differentiator.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to buy groceries at any place that had the word tire in the name.
No.
Unless it was like Tire and Bread Company. But even then, that'd be weird.
It would be weird.
Go on. So you went to Fort Erie and got a moose.
We got a tire store. Because there's literally no other place besides the Canadian Tire franchise in Canada where these moose can be purchased.
It's a Canadian Tire exclusive.
Yes, you
can. Not unlike Halo 5 is an exclusive on the Xbox.
No, but you can buy it anywhere. You can buy Halo 5 at any place you want.
Canadian Halo 5, eh?
Whatever. But we searched on eBay and looked on Amazon and Googled, and no one else sells these damn things.
No one.
So we went there, got the moose, plugged it in, put it together.
It's bright.
It's bright.
You got that tree thing too, right?
That's just a bunch of lights.
And a tree shape.
Yeah, well, Mel created that tree shape.
Oh, that's, that wasn't something you got.
No, okay. It was just a string of lights wrapped around
I got confused. A bunch of sticks, I saw in the dark, really. And I thought Erica said that you guys bought it.
Okay. I guess you were drunk.
Possible. That was a crazy birthday. That was a crazy 3.5 hours of board gaming and birthday partying.
Yes. I wanted to bring that. I almost like went out and bought that Super Fights game.
Just oh, really? So
we
could...
We should do that another night.
Yeah, that would be a good one to... Okay, do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, Super Fight Podcast.
Or borrow from Josh.
Yeah, or I guess. Just
buy it. Whatever.
Or just buy it. Meh. It's you. You buy board games. This is what you do.
But we'll save that. We'll just tease that Super Fight. So yeah, we had a little trip to Canada. We stopped at a Canadian Roadhouse restaurant. I'm not sure if it was affiliated with the Roadhouse restaurants that used to be here.
No, it didn't say Canadian Roadhouse. It just said Roadhouse.
It was just Roadhouse. It was like Roadhouse and then somebody's name. But the menu looked pretty similar because it was meat. I mean, it was all, you know, steak and burger heavy.
I feel like that's what you're going to get at any place called Roadhouse.
Yeah.
Were there peanuts on the floor?
There were not. There were no peanuts.
Maybe it wasn't a franchise Roadhouse then.
Yeah, but apparently they got sued by that, and that's part of why they went out of business here.
By them?
No, the here.
Yeah, by the Canadian people sued.
No. From the peanuts on the floor.
Oh.
Because somebody like slipped and fell on them, and I think that turned into a lawsuit. I'm kind of speaking. Like, I'm not entirely sure that's true, but I think it might be.
You have that, I'm second-guessing myself as I'm talking, look on my face.
I'm sort of talking out my butt here. So, Google that.
I thought
that.
You were going to say someone had a peanut allergy and walked in there and then just died. Because that I see as a legitimate concern.
But we go into this a Canadian sports bar grill place.
Okay.
And Roadhouse. Of course, what's on the TV but curling and a soccer game,
which is not what I expect.
There's a bunch of hockey fans in there
watching curling.
Of course, what else are you gonna do when there's no hockey game on? You get to watch curling.
Did you ever see the Kids in the Hall sketch with Sherling?
No,
it's just a poisonous snake.
What?
And a bunch of guys linking arms around it, and you just have to try not to get bit and die.
What? No.
It was an amazing sketch. I'm sorry. Go on.
No, that was it. It was very, very Canadian. Typically Canadian experience.
Did you get called a hooser? Hooser?
What?
Come on, you hooser.
You're confusing two different things here.
Not a hoosier.
Yeah, you're confusing hooser and hoser.
Hoser, yes.
Yeah, you have mixed those two things up in your mind, sir, and that is wrong.
I'm sorry.
You do not mix Midwest and Canadian slang. You just don't.
Shit, dude. When you put it like that, I feel bad. I'm gonna have to edit this whole conversation.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. You're gonna be
torn asunder by our Canadian contingent
and from the Midwestern contingent.
Oh, your mom and dad. Yeah, you're right. Because they listen to this podcast.
No, they're not from Indiana. We only lived there for a while.
That counts.
No, it doesn't.
Man, you are just the authority on everything tonight.
I am. I should be a surgeon.
You should.
And run for president.
Douchebag.
Yes. Yes. I shall be president douchebag. I shall know everything.
About nothing.
About nothing. Or nothing about everything. And I will mock those who question me.
Did you know? Did you know?
Watch that. Hey. Did you know? Watch where you're pointing that thing, mister.
This is a true story. Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit StolenDress.com. God damn it, I can never get through it. Visit StolenDress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. Did you know that, President Douchebag?
I did.
Shit. Wait, are you just saying you did, or did you actually?
I knew it. I knew it before you said it, because I'm a surgeon.
That in no way makes any sense as to why you would know that. Just saying I'm a surgeon doesn't...
Shut up and vote for me, peon.
Okay. Yes, sir.
There we go.
Hey, I think for our next podcast, we should do something really different.
Okay.
I don't have any ideas.
I'm listening.
I don't have any ideas. Just something like maybe fuck with the time-space continuum.
You mean have something that's more than just an auditory experience?
I think we should go to 3D.
What?
I think we are in a 2D world right now, and we need to... Look, Mike, don't take this the wrong way, but you are a luscious piece of man meat. And I think that we are
well,
really...
Well, I've been told that. At least once in my life.
Was it right now?
Yes, it was.
Yes, I am that one. But we're denying the listening audience seeing that lusciousness. I mean, oh. Don't do anything with all your hair. Because if you were ever to lose that hair, I mean, it gets in the way of the microphone sometimes. But if you lost it,
excuse
it would be
me,
so
I
sad.
Swish there.
Dude, ow! Why do you put like, there's like razor blades at the end. Jesus.
You never know when you're going to get into a fight with people
who take
will
their weeds
try to
out
pull your
to
hair.
Fight you.
I don't know.
So yeah, I'm just saying, maybe next time we'll jump out of the 2D world into the 3D one.
All right.
Just a thought.
Should people wear special glasses in order to experience that?
If they need glasses to see, then yes.
Okay.
Those are pretty special glasses that grant you the ability to see. Beyond that, I don't give a shit. Unless you have a 3D TV that actually turns normal 2D images into 3D images, and then yes, you want 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Which you could conceivably do.
Yeah.
For what we're going to do.
Our TV sucks at that. It keeps saying, hey, I found a 3D image.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
it goes away.
Shut up.
It's like,
no,
you're wrong. You're wrong.
Shut up, TV.
Panasonic's just try so hard. Panasonic and their dead plasma technology.
Aw.
Well, you are...
S. Michael Smith, and you, my good friend, are...
M. Michael Carassi.
And we are... Buddies in Space.
Super Fights. Let me show you all the gifts I got my wife for her stocking.